Pastors Hart and Dominic Steele, and thanks for joining us today. Performance management and managing conflict. My guest is Vicky Napier. We started the Pastors Hart a few years ago primarily to serve senior pastors and to help us in our role of seeking the lost and building up the saints. And I'm so aware and so thankful that so many other ministry staff team members and members of churches have joined us on this journey as well. But today we're particularly thinking about the senior pastor and our particular role of serving, managing the team and managing the staff. Vicky Napier is with me. Vicky is the Sydney Anglican Church's human resources partner, in that you help people like me get it right in terms of staff and team management.
Yes.
Vicky, can we start with your pastor's heart? And there must be some things in terms of staff management that make your heart sing, when, and some things that break your heart.
So there's a lot that makes my heart sing, particularly in the parish context, and that is when staff teams are working really well together. There's clarity in what's expected, and there's a great joy in the partnership that a whole team has. Mm-hmm. There's no hierarchy. There's just this collective, joy in spreading the gospel and edifying the church and building up God's people. Mm. So that really makes my heart sing. And being a part of that community is a real joy as well. Mm. So, and the thing that breaks my heart is sometimes seeing or witnessing the overwhelmingness of ministry for gospel workers, whether they are ministers or assistant ministers or whatever their role is in that pastoral team, just the sense of being overwhelmed by the task at hand.
Let me pick up on a positive and a negative there. From the positive and your heart seeing, you had the line "no hierarchy." What did you mean by that?
I mean that we're all one in Christ, and so there's a sense of, and I think we'll get to this when we talk a little bit about leadership and the idea of servant leadership. It's where we're all leaders and we're all servants all at the same time. So the buck doesn't stop with anyone in particular. You may have a senior minister, you may have assistant ministers, you may have senior assistant ministers, but they're all of one mind and they're all about proclaiming the gospel and the best way to do that, the best way to serve the people of God. No one person, overpowers the decisions or the ability of others to get involved or to exercise their initiative.
So. And in terms of heartbreak, you said seeing people overwhelmed.
Yeah, I get a sense, and I've had this sense, well, ever since I became a Christian, that in gospel ministry, it's really difficult to know where the boundaries are. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to know when to rest and when to work. And we have plenty of examples of Jesus knowing when to retreat and spend time with God. Mm-hmm. I feel for a lot of ministry staff and a lot of Christians in general, it may not just be confined to the parish context, but we don't know how to be still. Mm-hmm. And know that God is God sometimes, and there's a lot of work to do, and it can be quite overwhelming, particularly in this current climate that we're in. That sense of urgency is far greater. There are people really need to know Jesus because of the state of the world that we're living in now. And I'm not talking anything about pandemics. I'm just talking about that general sense of people believing that they are God and God is not. So that sense of urgency that Christians have, and particularly Christians working in the ministry, it's that sense of being overwhelmed and not seeing that you can have permission to be still. Mm-hmm. That's really important. So
now, you said to me, the most common question you get asked is about performance management.
Yes. I've only been in the role for 2 years, and it's been a...
Well, that's enough time to work out what a common question is.
2 years with a pandemic. Yeah. So it's been a little bit unusual, and so it probably hasn't been the ideal launching of this particular role. But can I say, I'm really thankful to God for... you mentioned I work in the Sydney diocese, and I'm really thankful to God and for all those people who raised up the funds, who identified the need for this role and raised up the funds to provide this position, because there is a need for ministry staff to know how to do HR stuff well. And of course they don't know how to do that. That's not their job. Their job is to proclaim the gospel. So if I can help people in their work to do the HR stuff better, then that's going to alleviate a lot of their pressure, their stress, and that overwhelmingness. And to that point, performance management is something that comes up in a whole lot of different ways in my conversations.
Well, give us a scenario and then I'll make a phone call to you and you can...
Okay. So the scenario, generalising a scenario, I think the initial call is usually about some ambiguity about how to manage somebody's, I'll call it productivity, activity, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing it, and how to approach that. And so in isolated cases.
And I guess sometimes it would be they're not doing enough. Sometimes it would be they're doing too much of this and not enough of this.
Yeah.
And we've got a disagreement about what the job description should be.
Or even I don't think they're doing what I want them to do. Have I communicated that well to them? So, which brings me to the whole performance management framework that I would encourage every church leader to develop with their staff, because a performance management framework sets out at the very beginning what's expected of you in a particular role.
So, what is it?
Yeah. So, for example, my philosophy is your job description describes the what of the role. You have a vacancy in your team. You're going to advertise. You develop the job description because you're looking for a worker, whether it's, let's say it's a children's worker. So that's the what of the role. What do you want them to do? You want them to do children's work at Village Church Annandale. You want them to look after the Sunday school services. You want them to look after scripture, and you want them to look after, you know, preschool or playgroup. The how then is another document. So the how is, how do you want them to run the Sunday school programs? Do you want them to lead the programs by delivering the programs? Do you want them to raise up a team to deliver the programs? Do you want them to write a curriculum for the Sunday school programs? What is it that you want them to be doing in that capacity? Same with scripture teaching. Do you want them to go and teach all the scripture classes, or do you want them to raise up scripture teachers and disciple those scripture teachers, et cetera, et cetera? So the detail or the how is in the ministry objectives document. The document that you will revisit month on month and check in to see how they're going.
Now, you're talking about a list of inputs there.
Yeah.
And I take it you've got a list of inputs and a corresponding list of outputs that you're looking for.
Yeah, so there will be measures. So you as a senior minister may expect your children's worker to raise up volunteers to run scripture in three schools, but you also have an expectation of that children's minister to deliver at least two scripture classes a week. So they're the measures. There may be a pastoral aspect where you want the children's minister to run training for the volunteers once a term and have a focus on that. You want them to be doing these specific things. So there are measures.
So we agree on the outputs. We agree on the inputs up front. And then that's going to mean the conversation when I'm thinking, so I suppose you're saying when I had this idea, they're not doing this. My first question is, well, did I write it down on that document?
Or have we talked about it?
Or have we talked about it?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I have noticed is communication is key it's true everywhere. It's not only true in ministry context, but communication is key. Have I actually asked this person, or have I actually explained what I want them to do? Or if you know, on the other side, have I actually explained to my minister why I'm not able to do that, mm-hmm. or that I don't feel that I can do that?
I'm presuming a phone call comes and says, I feel like I've made it clear, but I'm not getting what I want. Mm. Yeah. Is that
right? Yeah. So sometimes that happens. And so I'll explore that with the minister and just understand, or the person who's called in, and understand what it is they've said. And then there may be more explicit ways to communicate that message. Mm-hmm. It may be that you're not delivering the message well to the person. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all different. We're all unique. We all hear things differently, and we all have our own biases that we bring into mm-hmm. every conversation. That's true for everybody. So without having a good awareness of the team that you're working with or the people that you're asking to do things mm-hmm. with, you may fall down when it comes to communication.
And you were telling me you think that document, once it's been agreed on or kind of signed off on annually, you need to revisit it once every month, once every 6 weeks.
It's a platform to have those authentic performance discussions. Mm-hmm. And I know performance can sound a little bit crass mm-hmm. in a ministry context, but so use any other word, an activity, an encouragement discussion, mm-hmm. whatever it is. It's an opportunity to check in. Mm-hmm. And to see how you're tracking against mm-hmm. what's expected of you, to discuss areas that are quite challenging mm-hmm. or that you haven't been able to get to for good reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been able to teach scripture because of COVID. So I haven't been able to go into to the classroom because, you know, things like that. So there's that flexibility in those discussions.
Do you find the senior pastors who talk to you have more difficulty with the people who are just kind of, if you like, new to their team, or sometimes people who've been on the team for a long time, but kind of there's been issues left unaddressed? Mm. Yeah.
To be honest, I feel there haven't been many. The conversations that I've been having haven't been about difficulties. Mm-hmm. They've been about more about confusion or a feeling of being ill-equipped to understand what's going on and to address it. Mm-hmm. So the majority of my calls are stemmed in love mm-hmm. For the people that they're working with. And that, you know, you asked what makes my heart sing. That's another thing, just seeing the love and affection people have for one another as they work in gospel work together. But I think sometimes it's more the fear of saying the wrong thing, the mm-hmm. fear of offending.
Yeah, how do we unpack that for me?
Yeah. Look, nobody likes to – well, I'm a great one in not enjoying constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. I want everything to be – spot on, and I want that positive feedback. That's my personality. That's mm-hmm. what I enjoy. So I struggle with constructive feedback. I need it in order to grow. But managers that I've had in my career who know me well know that I need to go and process that feedback before we can then get in and start to work out resolutions for, mm-hmm. for whatever I needed to do. And when that's happened, when I've worked for managers who know me well enough to know that I may feel a little bit uncomfortable with what they're about to say, but because they're my manager, they need to say it in order to help me to improve, mm-hmm. Then they've been gentle and they've delivered it in a way, or they've given me notice that this is the feedback, that I can think about it before we have the conversation. So I think the key to all of this is communication and awareness, mm-hmm. awareness of self, awareness of the people in your team, awareness of your parishioners, your congregation members.
Mm-hmm. So have a piece of constructive feedback. And sometimes it might be vibe rather than
Than something tangible.
Yeah. And the other person, their vibe might not be the same. And, you know, yeah. I think this vibe issue is important. Mm,
yeah. Absolutely. And often things, we're going to talk about conflict as well. It's kind of all tied in. Conflict can sometimes evolve from a vibe, mm-hmm. a misinterpretation of a look mm-hmm. or a word, like a misplaced word or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You said to me a line on the phone that I wrote down. You said, you senior ministers, you're very kind and compassionate. You're not very good on tough love. So what did you mean?
Well, I mean having the courage to call out those vibes or discuss those vibes mm-hmm. with humility to be ready to listen to the feedback that you might receive, but prepared to give the feedback that you want to give. And it's based on a relationship of trust. And mm-hmm. We might go around in circles in this talk, but if you go back to the performance management framework where you're talking about the work that's going on on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and you're talking about and celebrating the things that God is doing through the person that you're managing, mm-hmm. And you're also talking about or hearing from that person the challenges or the struggles that they're having in particular aspects of their work, mm-hmm. Then you can work with them, and they can see that. Or be reassured that you're on their side, that you know their struggles, and that you've both got this plan in place to address it. It may be, and this ministry objective document is flexible, it's evolving, it's living. So in one conversation, there may be something going on that is taking the worker away from the full focus. Mm-hmm. They've missed an element of the activities that you want them to be performing because there's something else going on at home or in another aspect of their ministry. You can postpone that activity or redefine it for a little while to take that pressure off. Mm-hmm. But knowing that you'll go back and revisiting it. So it's not something that you're shutting down altogether. It's part of the role and it's important. But let's put it to the side for now and we'll pick it up again next month.
Okay, conflict resolution. What do we need to learn there? Yeah.
We need to know each other better, I think. And this is a general comment that people jump to conclusions based on their own interpretations and their own perspective. So I think there will be conflict. We are different. We're wired differently. God uses us in different ways. He's gifted us in different areas. And we live in a broken world. So mm-hmm. there will be disagreement. There will be conflict. But conflict in its early stages can be addressed, particularly if it evolves in a relationship of trust mm-hmm. and respect for one another. So you and I might have a disagreement, mm-hmm. But if we have a relationship of trust and respect, then we can talk to each other about that. You know, it might be that mm-hmm. that I say, you know, it really offended me that you only gave me, you know, a day to prepare for this talk, and you know, and I've got no cheat notes or anything. Yeah. So and that really put me on the spot. So that may be something, and you may, and so we'll be able to talk about that and work that out. And you may push back gently, mm-hmm. And I might need to, because of who I am, I might need to take that on board. And so we need to be open to each other. Like we need to be, I guess, just authentic with each other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
The difference between conflict and abuse.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Bullying.
Yeah, bullying. So we probably won't talk too much about this now because I think it's a subject.
It's a big topic and we need to get you back
topic.
To talk about that.
Absolutely.
But in just, okay, 60 seconds.
Yeah,
go.
Bullying has a legal definition. Mm-hmm. It's repeated unreasonable behaviour that is designed to humiliate, threaten, undermine, etc. So the lawyers would be better with that definition mm-hmm. than I am, but that's the definition. And some people can feel bullied, but it may not be bullying.
So that's interesting. Just on that definition, yeah. I think you're implying that sometimes the term bullying would be flung around a bit willy-nilly, where actually it doesn't meet that definition.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't meet that definition, if somebody's feeling bullied,
yeah.
Then there's something's wrong mm-hmm. And something needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be addressed early and it needs to be addressed effectively. So I'm actually planning to run some training this year for those in the Sydney Anglican Diocese on bullying. And I can do that with staff teams, and I can do that in mission area groups and things like that. So if anyone is interested.
Oh, we'll get you back to talk about
that. Yeah, great. I think what I like about this bullying project that we're going to focus, that I'm going to focus on this year, is it's aligned to a whole lot of other areas in the diocese where we've worked together to develop some training that is consistent. It's consistent at level two where I work. It will be consistent in the parishes. It will be consistent across the whole diocese. So it's a serious matter. It's an important matter, and it needs to be addressed. No one should feel bullied, particularly in that church context where Christians are working with Christians.
Sure.
That breaks my heart. But again, if I can just come back to the building an authentic relationship of trust and respect where there's humility with one another and that servant-heartedness, then conflict should be dealt with effectively.
How do we do it?
There are tools that I've been using to help staff teams build awareness. So it's kind of like a personality profiling for the workplace. So you get to understand how you work, how you click, what your tendencies are in that kind of team environment. And then you overlay that with all your other team members so that you can see the diversity within the team. So that means that if you understand more about my personality and how I work, you would then know that I don't receive feedback well. And so as my minister, you may reshape how you deliver that feedback to me. And it may be gentle. It may be, Vicky, I need to talk to you about, you know, Ministry X. It's about the way you're training your team. I'm not sure there's enough going on there. Can we talk about it you know, in an hour's time or tomorrow at our one-on-one or whatever it is. That gives me time to process.
Profiles to kind of as a team, and found that super helpful of, we're likely to go to head-to-head because we're both D personalities,
or
you're a conscientious person, or you're actually, I have to be really careful that I don't trample all over you.
Yes, exactly. And that's that awareness piece that I'm talking about that is, I think it's so critical in life in general, and particularly when we're working in such an important area as gospel proclamation. So, and I've just been accredited in DISC, so.
All right. So, I mean, I just gave us 10-second thing on it. Give us a bit more on that.
Well, it's a great tool.
I mean, that's fantastic. For you being accredited, I mean, the last time we had a DISC profile person, it was so expensive to come out. It was phenomenally expensive.
It can be. So I'm, I won't say I'm free because I work. But I can come and run DISC for staff teams. They will have to pay, like each parish will pay for the profiles, but they're about, I think, $100 a profile. So, and then I can, you gather the team profiles, you overlay the profiles together, and you can look at the diversity. So if you've got a lot of people, there are four segments in DISC, obviously. So the domineering, influence,
conscientious
and sensing, is that?
Intuitive, isn't it?
Intuitive, and the S. Anyway, there are four of them.
You've just done the course.
I know, I've just done the course. It was before Christmas, so a lot's happened since then. But, yeah, so, and you can be a combination of both. And another important thing about these profiles is that it's not fixed. So I'm not too happy with my profile, I must admit, but it's given me awareness of what I'm like so that I can modify my behaviour, as you were talking about, to help others and to communicate
actually,
effectively.
The onus is on you as the team leader, do you know, to be other person-centred to your team members and be aware this is how they're going to be. So I've actually got to adjust me to get the
exactly. It's true for everybody, whether you're a leader or not. If you're communicating with somebody, you need to know who you're communicating with in order to communicate effectively, because the responsibility of effective communication lies with the communicator. If I misunderstand what you've said, it's probably your fault. So maybe think about how you've communicated to me, or how you've confirmed that I've understood what you've needed. So.
Sure. We've got a couple of questions in on Facebook. Russell Schmidt has asked, are there bits of church-based pastoral staffing practices that are out of step with other workplaces and legislation? What should we be aware of? How might we negotiate this, bring appropriate servant, joyfully sacrificial heartedness to pursuing healthy workplaces, night work, long service leave, weekend work, time in lieu, question mark? Yeah. I guess there's a difference between an office holder and
an employee.
Fair Work employee.
Yeah. So in the Sydney...
And the heart of the gospel.
So in the Sydney Diocese, we have an interesting employment environment, if you like. We have office holders who aren't employees. So our rectors, our senior ministers aren't employees. And then we have other church workers, some assistant ministers, not all, but some, and other church workers and administration staff will be employees. Mm-hmm. And so they're governed under different legislation, if you like. So office holders have church ordinances and so church law, if you like, and employees fall under the Fair Work Act. And the lawyers at SDS, who are brilliant, I might say, so shout out to them, they would be better off explaining the complexities around that. But from a HR perspective, I encourage consistency. Because what I'm recommending is good practice, good people management practice. And everyone who's being managed wants to be managed well. And so having something like a performance management framework will facilitate that. There's clarity, there's transparency. If there's miscommunication, then that can be identified early on in those regular discussions about how I'm tracking in my job.
Servant leadership.
Yes. Rob Smith wrote a great article back in 2016 and he shared it with me.
We'll link to it in the show notes below.
No, it was a really good article. And obviously Craig Hamilton has written
some really good stuff.
Space. But the key point that and I'll probably run some training on this year as well. I've done some work already on that in order to deliver that to either staff teams or rectors. But the key thing about servant leadership is obviously it's other person centred. It's not about me getting my way. It's about me building you up to have the courage and the confidence to do what God's called you to do well. That's my responsibility as your leader. But the delivery of that leadership will vary depending on who the you is, if that makes sense. So if you is a child who's quite immature and doesn't have a grasp of those broad concepts, your leadership style might be more prescriptive as a parent to their child. And so leadership would be delivered in a different way to somebody who is potentially a co-worker or somebody reporting into you in a ministry context or a work context.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking about the grid of the one-minute manager where you've got directive, coaching, supportive and collaborative, I think how might I as a servant leader interact? I mean, I've got a new ministry trainee and this is my life at the moment. There's a new ministry trainee on our team who has been on our team for 2 weeks. And my servant leadership towards him is going to play out very differently to my servant leadership to my senior associate who's been with me a decade.
Exactly right. But your heart will be the same for both of them. So your heart is to see both those people grow and develop and enhance the skills for the work that God's prepared for them. So for your ministry trainee, you might find that your leadership style is more directive to begin with because the person doesn't know their way around or they're not really sure what to do, and you might loosen that gradually. for their benefit, so that they can be stretched and challenged gradually and appropriately. Mm-hmm. For your senior assistant, you know him well. You've developed that self-awareness that I've been talking about today mm-hmm. with him. You know how to communicate well with him. You know what he likes and what he doesn't like. You know what his challenges are, I would assume. Mm. And so then you're down more that collaborative, negotiating type of style.
Mm. Another question on Facebook. Ben Lettermore, how to navigate the question of what is full-time ministry? How many days, hours are expected? Given that people have a range of capacities and a range of experiences and assumptions about what full-time could or should look like, how do you set expectations on a team that encourages generosity without rewarding workaholism or Pharisaism? Mm. Nice, easy kind of...
Nice question, yeah, and a really difficult question. Because the primary role of a staff team is to equip the saints mm-hmm. to do the good works, and so if you're doing that, then you're doing that with a whole bunch of people who have a full-time job, and then do mm-hmm. ministry on top of that. So there's a challenge, but it comes back to the performance management framework. It comes back to recognizing the challenges and the intensity mm-hmm. of the role that ministers are in, and it comes down to personal kind of discussions with your leader as well about what works for you and what doesn't work for you. There's flexibility within the framework of how we work. I understand that office holders work 6 days a week, mm-hmm. for example. But if that's not doable, then speak to your rector about negotiating a part-time arrangement and managing your time, working out what you need, and then cutting back your hours if you need to. There's that flexibility to do mm-hmm. that. I mean, obviously it will mean less of the stipend mm-hmm. that you get. I've had several conversations with rectors who have just wanted to know how to help individual staff members who have just needed a bit of a breather. And there is that flexibility. There's that that ability to identify, you know what, this arrangement is not working for me. I feel tired all the time. I want to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to speak to my minister about cutting down my hours and doing a 4-day week mm-hmm. And getting, 4/6 of my stipend. We can manage it. I've done the budget. And so my decision is around, this is a stage of my life where I want to be able to drop my kids off to school or pick them up mm-hmm. or, have that extra, day with my wife or my husband mm-hmm. or whatever. So, I think we need to take individual responsibility for how we're managing our time and our day. But it comes back to having those conversations and that awareness of one another and how we're tracking. And the performance management framework, again, facilitates that discussion. That's where you would be talking about, there aren't enough hours in the day for me to do all of this. Because here's how I'm spending my time. And then you may find out that that there's work that's being done that doesn't need to be done. Or you can free up the individual from doing this work because that probably fits better in this role. So we need to be flexible. We need to be evolving. We do need to be generous. We're Christians, whether we're on a staff team or not. And we do need to, have Christ as at our centre and as our focus. But we ought not to kill it. We shouldn't be killing ourselves in that. Jesus retreated and spent time with God. I need to do that as a Christian. And, I mean, everybody does. So, it comes back to communication. That authentic respect and trust for one another, I think, is something that this performance management framework might help facilitate for those who struggle in those areas.
Thank you so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
My guest on The Pastor's Heart this Tuesday, Vicky Napier. She works in the human resources for the Sydney Anglican Church and helps senior ministers like me and parish councils and wardens actually get it right in terms of staff management. You've been with us on The Pastor's Heart, and we will look forward to your company next Tuesday afternoon. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.